Yeah, I was here as well. And but, you know, I was thinking about, it's not always easy being a Christian. Sometimes you just wonder, am I doing things right? How do you do things right? You know, it's like in worship, it's like, oh, if I'm going to worship, do I raise one hand or do I put it out here, or am I a touchdown person or what? But I found this on the internet. His name is John Crist. He grew up a pastor's kid, and he's a comedian. And sometimes you wonder, when is the appropriate time to pray over food? And so this is actually going to be very helpful. So that should clear up everything. And I don't know about you, but I've kind of gone through every single one of those things. But I just thought that was kind of hilarious. So there is your guidelines on how to pray for a meal. So you're welcome. All right, today's message is called Testify. And I had someone come to me. Oh, actually, we talked quite a while ago. And he said to me, he said, you know what? There are a lot of people in the church here at New Hope that have their own testimony. Everybody has their own story. And I get an opportunity to share my story with you on a regular basis. But there are also people out there that have testimonies that are encouraging to other people or can be encouraging to other people. So I thought what I would do is, first of all, take away some of the cloudiness on what it really means to testify or evangelize. Because you say the word testify to some people or evangelize to some people, they just automatically break out in a sweat, cold, clammy hands. It's like, I can't do that. I don't know my Bible well enough. I can't do that. And so I kind of wanted to go into the scriptures, let the scriptures interpret the scriptures, and see what it says about testifying or testimony. So we're starting in John chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen." We speak of what we know. These are the apostles talking to the people, and they say, "We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen." Your testimony is just that. It's what you have witnessed. It's what you have seen. When you bring a witness into the court of law to give a testimony, that witness has to have seen what went on. Otherwise, they are not a good witness. You can't use their testimony. So your testimony is what you've seen and what you have witnessed in your own personal life. Our testimony is just that. It is ours. Everybody's testimony is going to be different because we've all witnessed things differently in our lives. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, it says, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead." Testify that he is the one. Our testimony is based on who God is and who Jesus is. That is what your testimony should be based on. The focus is on him, not on us, but on what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. All right? So then in John chapter 4, verse 39, it talks about the woman at the well that Jesus met with. And it says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And she said, 'He told me everything that he did.'" So here is an encounter that Jesus has with this woman at the well who was basically shunned by the rest of the culture because she had had five husbands and the guy that she was living with was not her husband. Jesus pointed all that out. But then he built a relationship with her. It was a one-on-one thing. And she shared what Jesus had done for her at the well. She shared it with the people that she knew. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." God uses us to share his story with other people. He has an encounter with us, a personal encounter with us, and it is up to us to simply share what that encounter entailed. What did she do? She went and she told exactly what Jesus had done in her life an hour earlier. So your testimony is simply what God has done in your life. Don't pick and choose from other people's lives. Well, you know, God's done incredible things in Pastor Lee. Let me tell you a little story about when Pastor Lee was a little... No, that's his testimony. Our testimony is our testimony. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And it says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." There's a lot in there. The first one, it says, "I did not come to you with eloquence or human wisdom." See, a lot of us are afraid to share our testimony because we don't feel that we talk very well, or we don't feel that we're comfortable enough to share our faith. Well, Moses, when God was saying, "I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go," Moses didn't want to go. In fact, he said, "You know, I don't talk too good." And I in my mind's eye or my ear, I hear him kind of talking like Sylvester Stallone. You know? "Yeah, I don't talk too good, God. You must send somebody else, all right?" But he said, "No, send someone else. I'm not eloquent enough. I don't talk well enough in front of people." And this is Paul saying, "I didn't come to you with wonderful speech and eloquence. I came to you," in fact, he says, "with fear and trembling." How many of you, when you know that you're in a situation and you just feel God tugging at your heart going, "Share with them. Tell them about me." And you just kind of like, "Oh no, I don't talk too good." But it's simply who you are, who God has made you to be. I remember one time we had a young man come into the church, and he was a nice guy, and we had prayer time, and I had talked to him before the prayer time. And we just carried on a conversation. And then when it came time to pray at the end, he says, "Well, do you mind if I pray?" And I said, "No, go ahead." And we're all holding hands and we're praying. And he goes, "Oh, Heavenly Father, you art the greatest. We seek thee in this time. We bow our knee." And he started speaking in the King's English, in the New King James or whatever. And it's like, wait a minute. That's not the guy I just talked to. He changed into something different. Like he had to be something different in order for God to hear his prayer or what. I don't know. But I thought, you know what? When we give our testimony, it's who we are. You give it in your personality. You give it in the way that you talk in a regular basis. It's a part of who you are. And God asks us to share that story. Because you never know. We may be like the Samaritan woman who shares with someone. It may be at the store. It may be in your workplace. It may be wherever. And you don't know what God wants to do in that person's life through you. But it's, you just be you. That's all God requires. Just be you. He says, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He goes back to the basics of my testimony is simply that my heavenly Father loved me enough that he sent his son to pay a payment that I could never pay. And I have accepted that payment. He says, he doesn't say that you have to have a PhD in theology. He doesn't say that you have to read your Bible 20 minutes a day for the rest of your life. He simply says, I came and I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So our testimony is focused around not us, but how God has impacted us and what he's done for us. Amen? John 10, verse 24 through 25. It says, the Jews who were gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. And so Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. Jesus was saying, you've seen my testimony by what I do, by my actions. I've had one lady used to go to the church here, and she always used to say, preach the gospel and use words when necessary. That is a great saying. People should see the gospel alive in how we act and how we talk, how we handle certain situations. They should see God in that. James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. It says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. He's saying, you see what I believe in how I act, in what I do. And Jesus said the same thing. You've seen my faith by what I do, by my works. So our testimonies, what we believe in here and in here, should match what comes out in our actions. See, given your testimony is boils down to the simplicity of, this is what I've gone through, and this is what God and Jesus have done in me through those situations. And we don't stand before someone pretending to be perfect. We all have hang-ups. We're not perfect people. We never will be until we stand in God's righteousness in front of his throne. When we're here on earth, we're going to screw up. We're going to say the wrong thing sometimes. We're going to act not Christ-like sometimes. Now, I don't struggle with those things anymore. But it's true. We all struggle. But you know what? Our testimony is simply that. What has God done in and through you? And it's an awesome thing to step back and remove yourself from all the stimulus of the world and all everything, and just step back and you look at every time that God has intervened in your life. And there are times when we don't see it when we're in the midst of it. But then when we come out on the other side, it's like, oh my goodness, God is so good. I didn't even realize that he was leading me through that time. But we need to step back and take those times and say, what is my testimony? What is it that God has done? And we become a lot more appreciative when we step back and we focus on what he has done, and we take the focus off on what we wish he had done. It's his story and his interaction with you that makes it your story. So today we are starting a series, basically, and I've asked a couple of families to come up today and give their story. So, and I trust that God is going to speak through them to you, because there's oftentimes we don't, if you sit on this side on a Sunday, sometimes you don't get to know these people on this side. They're pretty cool. But you know, if we just are in a habit of just coming on a Sunday and not getting plugged into one another's lives, there's a lot of opportunities that are missed that we can be blessed by someone else's story. So we are going to have a couple of families come up. So Keegan, would you? I'm just kidding. You should have seen his face. Like, what? At this time, I am going to have Tim Ortiz. Will you come up and share with us your testimony? Give him a hand, people. This is not easy. And if some of you do not know Tim, I have been absolutely blessed to get to know him. He's graciously taken me out fishing many, many times. Because of him, I've caught my first salmon in Coeur d'Alene Lake, which most people don't even know there's salmon in there. And Justin and I got to wrangle with a 10-foot sturgeon on his boat as well. So thank you, brother.
Well, first of all, I really appreciate the learning that I've experienced here. It's been a real blessing. I was the one that talked to Jim about sharing God's, how God works in our lives. I was going, now, why is it so important to me? In the definition of fellowship, it says meeting with fellow believers to encourage one another in the Christian faith. In the definition for discipleship, the process of making other disciples, the practice of introducing people to Jesus Christ and to encourage them to grow. Our stories, they're all so different, you know, but they're used to encourage other believers. And I think sometimes it might be beneficial to the pastors to know that it's not all in vain, that it really is making a difference. Our testimony is a powerful way to witness to non-believers. This is why I'd love to hear from you guys. I really wasn't wanting to share my testimony. I wanted to hear yours. But, you know, how God has revealed himself to you guys, the miracles that he's performed to you guys, how God has changed your life, how he's answered prayers, the effects on relationships, how God has given you a purpose in your life. It kind of, by no accident, you see awful lot of the same faces here all the time. You know, the pastors, youth pastors, the people behind the scenes, they donate awful lot of their time. This isn't by accident. You know, their dedication is without waiver. We know that there's something to the core of why they do this on a day-in basis. I want to hear your stories, but I'll share my story to encourage one another, and so I'll just get after it. My story starts when I was just a little shaver like you see here. That's when the seed was planted. You know, of course, Proverbs 22:6, direct your children when they're young on the direction to go, so when they get older, they won't leave it. Probably one of my first revealings from the Lord was I was about 10 years old, and I kept having this reoccurring dream that there was something mighty out in the wilderness. I grew up in the woods. I'm kind of a backwoodsman myself. And something powerful in the woods, and it kind of scared me. I knew it was a mighty presence, and I'd wake up. And I had this dream reoccur for years. Had it sometimes maybe twice a month. Finally, one day, I was having the dream, and I was, you know, I think I was still subconscious then, and it goes, this is Jesus Christ. How long are you going to run from me? And I never had that dream again. That was the last time I ever had that dream, and it was just a dream I had all the time. when I was about 16 years old, I went to Camp Cross. You guys are going to have our youth go off to church camp. You know, it's something I feel very strongly about. It was the first time that I was baptized on my own recognizance, or whatever the word is. I was baptized as a child when I had nothing to do or say about it. It's also when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. Please consider sponsoring a child for church camp. If you know somebody that has a child that wants to go, let me know. After that, at about 18, my parents got a divorce, and I was kind of out on my own. It wasn't long on my own before I started living a life of sin. Kind of forgot about the Lord, carried about my way. I remember I was getting ready to go to a concert, and we had a kegger, and with deep remorse and really true repentance in my heart, I thought, God, I'm sick of this life that I'm living. I don't like it, you know. In a silent prayer, I asked God for forgiveness, and I said, you know, if I just had a woman in my life that would help me in this struggle, you know, I think I could make it. Well, this is all a silent prayer. About 2 seconds later, I had this beautiful woman come up to me, and she said, you were just praying to Jesus Christ, weren't you? And I go, it really, you know, and she goes, I saw the same look on my little brother. He was just saved last week. And I go, wow. You know, I was too shy or embarrassed and in shock to tell her what I really prayed for. And I ended up never seeing that girl again. But nevertheless, it was not only obvious to me without a doubt that Jesus Christ was talking to me right then and there. It was obvious to that girl. At this kegger, I had friends that, you know, nobody heard me say this prayer, that started calling me Buddha. My nickname after that was Buddha. And it was obvious to them that something spiritual had happened to me. One of them gave me a porcelain Buddha, and I still have it in my house. Not that I worship to Buddha. You know, it was the most powerful revealing that I've ever had from the Lord. I often wondered what happened to Saul to make him Paul. But it was a powerful reveal. Another powerful reveal I had a friend that was giving me a ride home because my rig broke down from work. And I tried to share the gospel with him. And he said, I don't want to hear your happy horse manure. He says, I got molested at a local church here, not very far from here, and you can save your speech for someone else. I go, it grieved me to no end, and I go, God, what do I tell this person? I mean, you know, it just made me sick. I opened up the Bible. There's only like 1,200 pages in my Bible. I don't know how many is in yours. And it opened up to Matthew 23:27, where it talks about the religious leaders, how they march around in their robes and act all holy, and they're really not. And I go, wow, okay. So I copied that. I handed that piece of paper to him the next day. I don't know if he ever read it or not. It's not our job to save people, but it is our job to deliver the message. I had a friend that I was hunting with, and I had a chance, had a huge buck on my property. I said, hey, come on up here, I got a huge buck. He shot it right before dark. It took off, but couldn't find any blood. He went out looking. He got lost out in the woods looking for it. I had a flashlight, and it's well into dark now. He finally showed back up. And I said, well, let's just say a prayer. And I can't remember exactly what the prayer was. And right after that, the blood trail opened up. We followed, found his buck. And he says, the only reason we found that buck is because you prayed. He wasn't a person to be one you'd want to be praying in front of or with. And, you know, he knew for a fact that's why we found the buck. I said, well, I have this pastor, it's kind of a fisherman, and he said, if you ever receive a blessing from the Lord and you don't thank him for it, you stole it from him. And he actually said a prayer thanking the Lord. You know, that was his idol. But could anybody else have, you know, reached him? I don't know. I know that I was probably the only chance of reaching that person. Went fishing with Pastor Jim. We went out on Coeur d'Alene and caught a bunch of big kings, a bunch of big pike, and I'd camp out in my boat. I dropped him off, getting ready to camp out in a boat, and I thought, thank you, Lord, for just a dynamite day. You know, it was a very special day. It's dark. I'm in my sleeping bag, and all of a sudden I hear the reel just going zzzz. Caught a 30-pound pike at nighttime, full dark. And one of the things that's really made a difference in my life is when you get blessings, thank the Lord for them. And he'll always outdo himself. There's always more to be had. Work relations. Had a boss that just, we do not get along. And I prayed about it. I prayed for him. Lord has a sense of humor. The first person he changes is yourself. I don't know if it's the way I composed myself or what, but after that, it was a noticeable change on how we worked, how we got along, showing grace and kindness to a person. Real eye-opener. Relationship with my wife. When I was going to Wednesday nights at Pastor Lee's house, my wife, she goes, you know, they're brainwashing you. I go, true that. You know, all the wrong thoughts. It's a very welcome cleansing of my mind, of my heart. It's been a real changer. I really struggled with the relationships with my wife, which, you know, I don't want to get into all of it, but prayed about it. Once again, you know, the Lord gets it all wrong. He changed me first. And if anybody struggling in a relationship, don't underestimate just getting yourself right, how much it can change things. It's just amazing. I'm kind of kicking into a different area here as far as how I believe we can use this for non-believers. I would guess that most non-believers wonder, is there really a God out there? Does God still perform miracles? Can God change my life? Does God really answer prayers? Can God help with relations? Can God give me purpose? I kind of feel that there might be somebody here. My parents, they prayed that I'd come to meet the Lord forever. And it never happened in their lifetime. You know, in Matthew 7:7, the person that goes keeps asking for the two loaves of bread. I just feel there might be somebody here that is concerned about a loved one, maybe a child coming to the Lord. Keep up your prayers. Keep up your hope. Suicide, you know, you all hear about suicide and murders and all that. Suicide is now the 10th leading cause of death, more than car accidents. Anybody out here know anybody with broken relationships? Anybody that know anybody that doesn't have a life without meaning? Sharing our testimony, I believe, first, if it's directly backed by the Word of God, is one of the most powerful ways we can reach people. And I notice with my children, people at work, if you start right in with the God talk, a lot of times they turn their ears off. If you start out with your personal testimony and then introduce it with the God talk, they listen very intently. So it's something that I felt very strongly about. Example of, you know, is God, a non-believer asking, is God really out there? If you tell them how God revealed himself to you, the miracles that you've seen in your life, and then introduce with Scripture, maybe Deuteronomy 4:29, if you search them with all your heart, you will find them. Knowing the Bible and sharing your testimony, I think, is just incredible way to reach those people. The person that I tried to share with Jesus Christ that got molested at a local church here, I had a chance to share my testimony with him. And, you know, he seemed very interested. He was asking questions. You know, I shared how God had worked in my life and the struggles that I still have. Something that I shared with him that reached out to him especially was that that's where my children went, not in the same era where the molestation was going on. But when I went there, it was a very spiritually dead church. You go there today and there's no youth there. You know, God is the light. We're not the light. We are mirrors, though. Try to keep our lenses clean so that they reflect the light properly. Also, if you're holding the mirror, it goes where you shine it. You can shine it into certain people's life that you know you have a personal testimony that you can relate it to them. Of course, we're not all like Dorothy. That's like one of those disco balls. The light just shines everywhere and everybody gets hit. But that's something that I'm going to work on improving. That's all I really had to say. You know, it's warmer up here than it is sitting back there. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. All right. The next family. And what you can learn from this is Tim is the one that came to me and says, you know what, this would be a good thing to do. And so if you come to me and say, we should do this, I'll say, when do you want to do it? Because I have a lot of people say, you know what you should do? Well, we're going to start with you. So thank you, Tim, very much. The next family we're going to have come up, the Ellises. Come on up here. Now, when I asked the Ellises if they would be willing to do this, Mike was like, absolutely. And Susie was like, you're out of your mind. So I'm going to give the mic to Mike.
Well, what Tim just said was something that's reflected in our hearts as well. And there is quite a story to our 20 years of marriage. And I would like to start with my wife. She has put her real heart into and really prayed a lot about what she has written down. And I would turn the mic over for her first, and then I will finish up.
I came prepared.
Where's the box?
My name is Susie, for those of you that I have not really gotten to know, but you'd probably know me better as Bron's mom, Manny's mom, and Shia's mom. I wasn't brave enough to stand up here without a written cheat sheet, so I'm going to be reading this. I was born to a single mother. My mother battled with mental illness, which put me into a leadership role at a very young age. As far back as I can remember, I have struggled with being in crisis mode, always having to be in control, always ready for the next shoe to drop. I have carried this into my adult years. I was introduced to the Lord at a very young age. I loved my Jesus. I knew very little about the Bible, but there was no doubt in my mind who watched over me and gave me peace. I was very outspoken in my love for the Lord all through my school years. I was always the one who went to the parties, not to drink, but to shine for Jesus. When I graduated, the peer pressure took a hold of me, and I turned to the world and left my Savior on the shelf. But even in my rebellion, the Lord placed people in my path to remind me he was not far away. Every few months, I would take him down off the shelf to visit and ask him not to give up on me. Because we all know this world never lives up to its promises. The lights, the glamour, never seem to be as bright and shiny a day or two later. Because our Father's love never fails, I found my way back. I met my husband, Mike, in 1997. I was a single mother of two boys. My brother was dying of brain cancer, and he was my brother's hospice nurse. At that point, I had been single for 11 years. I vowed never to marry again, but the Lord had different plans. Mike and I were married 4 short months later. We celebrated 20 years this last March. This is a true miracle. Because 20 years later, chaos still continues. After the death of my brother, our house burnt down, my mother died, we had a legal battle, financial hardship, bankruptcy, Bron got sick, I got sick, we adopted 2 beautiful little girls, a custody battle over Manny, a disagreement with our oldest son, which cut off visits to our grandchildren for several years, rebellion of our oldest daughter led her on a 3-year path of self-destruction, again financial hardship as we enrolled her in a 2-year program in a faith-based boarding school back east, which led us to the recent sale of our home. We left New Hope for a while due to my health issues and the despair of what's happening in our home with our oldest daughter. Sometimes we put on a happy face even with people we should trust the most for fear of being judged. But the Lord led us back here. This is our home. And it's like we've never left. We were welcomed back with open arms. Please know when we walked back in, though, through those doors, we were sleep-deprived, desperate, and in crisis mode. Sorry. Pastor Jim speaks frequently on 3 important factors: prayer, reading your Bible, and fellowship. Sometimes I think we have to be desperate enough to finally hear. I want you to know, Pastor Jim, I hear. We started meeting on Wednesday nights in a small group with the Hunt family. Soon after our return, those 3 people right over there, with the power of Jesus working through them, has changed my life. I have seen miracles, the power of forgiveness, and unconditional love flow through this family to others. We were here to watch Pastor Lee hand over the reins to Pastor Jim. We have seen the process of growth and love in the heart of Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim and Belinda have worked so hard to make this church a beautiful gathering place for all of us. We feel so blessed by the music ministry, our volunteers in the children's ministry. Youth Pastor Aaron and his wife Brooke strive to make a difference in our children's lives, along with all the leaders, volunteers, past and present, are behind the scenes. We are blessed with pastors who are not afraid to speak the truth and who truly care about us. We are blessed with making true lifelong friendships. I stand here in front of you sharing my heart because I know there are others among us that struggle with past, present, or the fear of the future. I've been in survival mode my whole life. My biggest enemy has always been me, and my biggest battles have always been the fear of not being in control. I am finally learning to truly give everything to the Lord. It took me 60 years, spirit-filled messages, and godly counsel to get here. And yes, I still struggle, but little by little, I am releasing my fears and anxieties to my Heavenly Father. I would not have been able to do this on my own. It takes a family, reminding us of 3 little lessons. Read your Bible, pray, and involve yourself in fellowship. Our world is changing so fast. We are stronger in numbers. Let us walk the path together, undivided, encourage each other, and not be fearful to show our weaknesses. Let us grow in the Lord so that we may be able to reach out to others and show them how the Lord has changed our life. The first day we walked into New Hope 8 years ago, Pastor Henry stood up here at the podium, welcomed us in, and said, "I want you to know there are no accidents. You are here for a reason." These few simple words have never been forgotten. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, O Lord, what a Christian-filled church we are blessed to be a part of. Let our church and fellowship be a shelter out of the storm.
Amen. She left. I don't think I can top that. I was raised down in a little town called Waverly, graduated from high school down there. I grew up in a non-Christian home, but my Aunt Diana and my Uncle Elmer, who live in Coeur d'Alene, have testified of Jesus to me my entire life, brought me to church through a lot of awkward times. And at the age of 12, I did come to know the Lord. Similar to Tim's story, though, the world, you know, I like my wife said, put Jesus on a shelf. As ashamed I am of that, the world just kind of took over, and I walked away for many years. I did graduate from college. I got my first nursing job actually at Valley Hospital over here in 1989. So, and I've really been blessed. God's blessed me with a good long career, and I'm thankful for that. But through all those times, I was a single man, and as all of you can imagine, the selfishness that comes from living on your own and not knowing the Lord, it just leaves scars in your life that God has to fix. And then I married my wife, and we really have had quite a testimony in the last 20 years, many, many struggles. But one of the things that I wanted to, at least has been for me in my reading of the Bible, I have no problem believing in the parting of the Red Sea or God moving mountains. Those are big miracles, and we see those on movies and television all the time. What I had problem with and where I struggled in faith is, does God care enough about this one little person that he would put his spirit in him and change his heart and his motives? And it's been through my relationship with my wife and my children that God has taken this heart of stone, this selfishness, and slowly began to transform me into somebody who is less selfish. And those are things that I still struggle with, but I am so thankful for Jesus Christ for changing my life and giving me a desire to testify to others. I'll share a little story as Tim did. Jesus has really spoken with us directly in a few occasions. One of them was, we were married about 4 months when our house burned down. And I was actually, it was Memorial Day weekend, and I had headed into the woods early down to Laird State Park. I was going to go find us a camping spot, and they were going to follow me down there. I got down there in the woods, and it was just drunks everywhere. It was just partying, and I was really surprised to get out there and see all these people. I thought, this is not safe for my family. I'm going to come home. And on my way home, it was about 10 o'clock at night. It was dark, and I'm driving down the road, and I can't explain the other way, and it was just an immediate vision I had of this lion's mane. And it was weird. It was just kind of, just this big lion's mane. And all I could think of when it came to mind a lion was the lion thins out the herd. He takes the weak. You know, lions aren't there chasing the fastest antelope. They're picking off the slow and the weak from the herd and taking out the unnecessary. And that's just kind of where God has put them in nature. And I thought, well, that's just an odd notion. So I went home, and we fell asleep at about, what was that, 3 a.m? We heard this loud bang at our garage door. And I thought, what was that? And I jumped up and I look outside, and there's two young men standing in the front yard waving their arms. And lo and behold, our house was on fire. The whole roof was engulfed in flames. And so I ran in, not really knowing what to do. I ran into our garage, our attached garage, and I look in there, and we had this Toyota 4Runner that had caught fire. My wife had hit a deer and shorted out a wire. This thing was engulfed in flames. The tires were on fire, and it was the lion's mane. And up above that, in this loft in the garage, we just moved in, and everything that belonged to me, anything, motorcycle, paraphernalia, and trophies, everything that belonged to my single life, God took over the course of an hour. He burned it up. He took it away. And it wasn't until the next day when I realized this message of God. Listen, I'm going to take away the unnecessary in your life. Things that you think are so precious to you are going to go away. And that was the beginning of 20 years of walking with the Lord. And I just can't thank you enough, Lord Jesus, for just working in our lives. One of the things I really am up here to emphasize this day is fellowship. I used to be an avid off-road motorcyclist. I raced and rode every weekend. And I remember one time coming to realize, I talked to an old guy who was quite a talented rider, and he said, the way you get faster is you ride with people that are faster than you. Part of fellowship is just getting into a fellowship with other people. A pastor in a boat is probably one of the best means of doing so that I can think of. But you get around other folks that have walked with the Lord, and you slowly, over time, God will continue to develop you. We do have to have a testimony. We're to go and make disciples of other people. But part of that is, I don't know how you can step out and give your testimony to others if you're not more comfortable in a fellowship sharing these sorts of things. You've got to start somewhere, and it starts at that foundation. But You know, with our fellowship over at the Hunts and the struggles we have been through, you know, there have been times when I was convinced that our story was so complicated nobody else would understand it. And what foolish thoughts these are, you know, when Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun, you are all of you at some time have been, are, or going to go through a struggle that you're going to think is unique, and you will be tempted to isolate yourselves and not be in fellowship over those things. And we have made that mistake in the past, but in these recent times in the last couple of years, God has revealed himself through other people and their supports and their prayers. I mean, there are so many of you that we see every week. I'm so thankful for it. I get up at 3 a.m, so Wednesday fellowship is kind of difficult. I wouldn't take back 1 minute of it. That lack of sleep when I show up to work on Thursdays is nothing but an indication of a devotion to fellowship and the building up of believers around us. And we've been able to pray and help others. There's a whole network that goes on that I am just, it's a miracle. We're just so thankful to God for changing our hearts and continuing to work in our lives and the things that we go through. There will be more struggles for us, just as there will be in all of our lives. But the foundation is being in fellowship and staying in it and just making the sacrifice. Randy, I've heard you say before, there's always an excuse to not go to a small group. Always. I can come up with 20 every evening on Wednesdays. And yet, we find ourselves there, and God is good. It's that simple. So I want to thank all of you for listening.
All right. We are pressed for time. We're not going to do the last song here. Here at New Hope, we believe that, first of all, it's very biblical that God builds the church. He builds it. And I've always said that you go to the church that God wants you to go to, and you stay there until God calls you out. And oftentimes, we've had it in the past, like with Lloyd. We poured into Lloyd. We discipled Lloyd. We taught Lloyd how to make disciples. And you know what? He got called out to another church, and he is being used because that church is very spiritually immature. And so he has taken over to that church and is beginning to teach them how to grow in the Lord, that prayer is very important, that knowledge of the word, being devoted to the apostles' teaching is very important, being devoted to that fellowship is very important. And so sometimes God will take people out. And so today, I am sadly announcing that Randy and Dave, would you guys come up here, please? And I'm going to let them go ahead and share a little bit about what God is doing. Thank you.
It's very difficult for me. As most of you know, we've been in this body for 23 years. And over the last year, God has been speaking to me. Now, I will tell you, I've ignored it. I've shut it down. I've put him on the back burner. But I realized I didn't want to end up in the belly of a whale like Noah. So we are going to be leaving the ministry here and going to another church. As of this time, God hasn't told us exactly where we're going. I sat down with Jim a couple weeks ago, and long conversation. I've had many nights of tears, me and my wife, talking about this, speaking to God. And I'll tell you what really makes it difficult for us is the relationships that we have here. And the fact that 23 years ago, the first couple to reach out to us were Jim and Belinda. And through those years, we've become family. I can't tell you how many fires we've set around. And I will tell you, our conversations are different now than they were 23 years ago. Jim's really grown up. We've grown spiritually. We've grown as brothers. So again, that it makes it very difficult, but something you have to understand. When you give your life to God, when you're a disciple in His army, just as when I was in the military, they told me when and where I went and what I was supposed to do. I have to listen to God. And through this, I believe He's going to stretch me, strengthen me, refresh me, but not just me and Mary Ann, but this body here as well. He doesn't do things in a void. There's a purpose and a reason behind everything that He does. And we may not understand it now. I don't understand it. I'll be honest with you, I don't. But I'm going to listen to Him and trust Him. So that's where we are. And I just want to tell you guys, every one of you, I love you. We're not leaving town. We're not getting out of your lives. We'll still be in your lives. We just won't be here on Sunday morning. But we love you. Thank you.
And we're leaving because they're leaving. No, it's not true. I'm sorry. I got to put a little levity in there. Actually, I'll just address it. Looks like it's the timing of everything. It looks like maybe there was some collusion, but honestly, it was separate decisions. Similar type of situation where Rachel and I were wrestling with some things and working through what we felt God was speaking to us. And when it kind of dawns on you what that means, it, you know, I have not 23 years, but been here for 26 years. So, sorry. No, but from the very beginning, and I've been afforded opportunities to be involved in ministry of all kinds, which, you know, and just for the nature of just kind of how it all came to be. And the struggle is knowing that that kind of ends certain things but begins a new life for others here and for my wife and I. And I know I speak for my wife, wanting to do what God's will is, wanting to be obedient to Him means abandoning some things and birthing others. And I too have, obviously, Pastor Jim and Belinda and their family is like family to us, and of course my own family. I was thinking about this as I was working through my mind, you know, what this means. I mean, my wife babysat Jim and Belinda's girls, and they in turn babysat my family, and I helped raise Rachel. So kind of the whole, that's one last joke for everybody. No, but I, honestly, guys, I how do you encapsulate 26 years? I mean, how do you? You can't. You know, all the memories and just moments with God and each other, and I just want you to know that I will take those with me and cherish each and every moment. So, and I want nothing but the best for this church. I want nothing but God to bless this work and bless where Rachel and my family end up, because there's no way we're going to abandon going to church or what that means. It's so deeply entrenched in our life, and obviously my boys and my girl. So it's everything to us, and at the same point, like Randy said, I need to be obedient to what I think God is saying. And but we love you guys, and we want you to know that. And we are fellowshipping still as God's believers in separate buildings. But like Randy said, we are still here, and the pool, as Belinda said, will always be open. So anyway, bless you guys, love you, and you will be always in our hearts. Thank you.
I'm going to have Pastor Lee, will you come up here? And I believe it's important when you are a part of a family that this is how you leave. This, it's very important. And I'm not going to sit here and try to talk them out of it. If it's God's will, then it's God's will. And if you're if you're here and God has called you somewhere else, you're not doing us any favors, and you're not doing what God is being called you to do. So I believe it's important that we send them out, we pray over them, and ask that God would just reveal whatever the next step is. He did it with Abraham. He says, I'm gonna take you somewhere where you don't even know where you're going yet. Just start going. It's like, okay. So they need to be obedient in that. They sat down with us personally. I appreciate that as well, because we've had people that just leave. And it's like, you don't just disappear from family. So Pastor Lee, would you like to pray, please?
Sure, I will do that. Lord, we thank you for the years of ministry of Dave and Rachel, of Randy and Marianne. Lord, as was shared, there's many memories, but Lord, many have been impacted by their lives, by their example, and I pray a continued blessing on them as they go. Lord, wherever you lead them, may your anointing rest upon them. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard their heart and life in Christ Jesus. I pray that, Lord, and Lord, we will miss them, but we'll be encouraged that they're going to continue going on with you and bless them, I pray. We give you the glory and the praise, Father, because, Lord, we know there's times, Lord, of transition. Lord, I know how you led me up here to start this church, and we left another church of 18 years behind. It wasn't easy, but God, you were calling us, and you placed a call on their lives, so they're just being obedient to that call. So we thank you for it now, Lord. In Jesus' name, go with them every step of the way, because you said you would guide our steps, you would direct our life. So we thank you for that now. We give you the glory. Amen. Amen.
And with that, consider yourself prayed over as well. And have a great rest of your week. And come down here and make these guys cry a little bit, would you? You guys are dismissed. Have a great day.